that tonight the fire came before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Nobody had to tell them to do that. They didn't have to sit and think whether they ought to do it. Thank God. When they saw God do that, they shouted, fell on their faces. That's a type of worship before God. It's standing in all of His holiness and of His power. And therefore, when the power of God's around, it causes people to act like His. Look in verse 1 of chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Of course, that censer was a vessel in which the coals of fire were put. They took their censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, notice what God said here. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Notice that. He held his peace even after his boys had been killed by God, because he knew God's command. Hey, done what God said not do. I want to preach, if God will help me tonight, just a little while, on the danger of strange fire. The danger of strange fire. Now, when I look at this tonight, God had just done something great. I mean, the Bible said here that fire had fell from God's heaven. And the Bible said that when the people seen the fire come down from God out of heaven before the Lord, and the altar that was consumed, what was on the altar, that the people saw it and fell on their face and shouted and praised God. And right after that, we find Aaron's two oldest boys offering up strange fire before the Lord. Now, God did not tell them to do that. When it says before the Lord, it was within the holy place. The fire was not to come in such a manner. In fact, it wasn't their position to do this. This was Aaron's position. And they took the position of Aaron. You know, a lot of times when God does something in our lives and God does something around the house of God, sometimes we take advantage, try to take advantage and do things God don't bid us to do. It's easy to get caught up in the trap of the devil when God's a blessing to abuse what God's a doing. And take things further than what God wants it to be took. That's why I've always tried to believe that when God does something, God knows what to do. He knows how to start and knows how to finish it. You can't add to what God does. You're going to have to just get in with it, worship Him, and accept what God sends. You know, God's still the same. He don't need no help in what He does. Thank God, God does it anyhow. And the more I read this book, the more I see just how big God is, and just see how frail and little man is in our time. And God didn't call these men to do this, but they did what God said don't do, and they offered up strange fire. It wasn't from heaven, neither was it taken off the altar of the burnt offering as it had supposed to have been done. Here's two boys that's doing this out of the will of God. And the Bible said in verse 2 that God used fire from heaven to devour them. And we find here in the Scripture that they've done something out of the order of God. Offered up strange fire. It was Aaron's duty. And there's strange fire tonight. Now listen to me. It's dangerous tonight for any of us to offer up things God don't tell us to offer. Amen. Listen to me. There's a lot of things that are strange in this air that's going on in the lives of people. And it seems like that there's a lot of not discernment today. Not much discernment, may I say, in knowing what God wants. It's better not to do something than to do something and not know that God said do it. In fact, Ecclesiastes said, be better not to vow a vow than to vow something and not perform that which a man has vowed. You see,
send us out. We're just too impatient to wait and trust God. We're trying to manufacture something in this hour, and we brought a bunch of falseness in this day and hour amongst the religious realm that we must be careful of. When I look at this church tonight, I look as a serious thing from God. I look at this service tonight as a serious worship service that God must have preeminence in, and that no man should take that place of God tonight, because God said that He sanctified it and He to get the glory. And when we go apart from the way of God, it's dangerous tonight, and that's why there is a lot of churches dying tonight as far as the power of God and having spiritual sense toward the God of heaven tonight. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to offer a strange fire to God. They all say tonight that their intent wasn't right in their heart. And the very intent of the heart's what God looks at. Amen. That's right. There's no way that we can pull something on God. He knows the very intent and motive of a man's heart. There's nobody in here that can look in my heart tonight. I can't look in yours. But God does. And God does see the very intent or the motive of a man's heart. And tonight, my friend, God help us to do things for the glory of the Lord. It ought not never be done because I want to do it. It ought not never be done because I want to say it. It ought not never be done because I want to offer it. It ought to be done under the order and dictate of the living Lord. And when it's done like that, then He gets the glory. See, you can't, I preach this and you know it. You cannot, my friend, put God in your own little corner and think that God is going to go your way. You've got to go God's way if you want the blessing of the Lord tonight. And you see, God's got an order in the church. God's got an order in the things that He does. And there is a God order tonight. And when a man gets away from God's order, then he misses what God's got to do or does do because he's out of order. And these kind of things happen in the hearts of men tonight because we're missing what God wants to do. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to take things upon us that God, my friends, put in the hands of His Son tonight. Amen. I can't preach unless God tells me to. God called me to preach. That's His business and His will. And I plan on doing it if God says otherwise. Amen. That's God's order. God's order in the church is the youth preaching. And we live in a day that there's strange fire that's going out from the pulpits of America. People scratch their head and say, well, I wonder about this, and I wonder about that. But the night, my friend, the real fire comes from heaven. The real fire comes from the altar of God. And there is strange fires at a pulpit tonight. There's strange doctrines at a pulpit tonight. There's strange sayings at a pulpit tonight. And my friend, they might sound good, but the fact of it is, when strange fire is offered up, there'll be death in the pews, and there'll be no spiritual life given to sinners the way God says give it, amen. And God's the only one can give it tonight. There's strangers in our sanctuary tonight. Now you see, the church is not built upon men. The church is built upon Christ. The church is not upheld by men. The church is upheld by Christ. If He's not the head here, then we're not no church. If He's not the foundation here, we're not no church. Amen. Amen. We don't have, my friend, an organization that we have to build upon. And God, this is a living organism. And the church is built on Him. Thank God, I'm glad tonight I'm not associated with the Baptist Association or the Senate or the Archbishop or whatever it is. That's strange fire. God says a church, thank God, is an independent body that stands upon Christ alone. Thank God, well, He's got a God order in it. Amen. That's right. The church is local. The church is not universal. That's a strange fire that's burning in our country today. They said, well, I'm a member of the church. Amen. The big church, they say. Well, friend, I'm telling you what you will find in this Bible that the Lord wrote to, quote, the big universal church. He wrote to the local church. That's why, listen to me, I can prove it by the Word. He said He gave unto the church pastor. He gave unto the church evangelist. He gave unto the church teachers. Amen. The Lord said upon this rock, I'll build my church. I know tonight the church is made up, thank God, of local churches. But the church in general is local because He said unto the church I write. Amen. The church as a body is universal in local. In local, I mean, this is a local church, and then there's a local church down here that's a true God church. Not because it's got the name church, but because it's literally born again, called out people to assemble together to make up God's body. It's not made up by ministries. It's made up, thank God, by Him. And through the church, He does His work. He does His ministry through the church. And God is through the church that He does everything in this earth. Amen. There's strange fires in our country tonight. And they say, well, preacher, what about this man? And what about that man? It's not about that man or this man. It's about the man Christ Jesus. Amen, brother. I'll tell you what's right tonight. Thank God, this book. It's not some strange fire. It's not some tele-evangelist. Amen. It's about the church. This thing ain't about me. It's about Him. It ain't me trying to burn my own fire and say, look what I'm doing. It's about, thank God, His fire falling and His fire amongst the camp and His fire in our heart. I can't do it, friend. It takes His fire tonight. Amen. That's right. We got a fire within us. Thank God that burns. Thank God in our hearts. But what about the strange fire? Here's two men, this Aaron's sons. Can I say this and that? They probably thought they had a little privilege because Aaron was their daddy. And they thought they could go in and do what they wanted to. Hey, God don't respect no person. He's still the same. Amen. What's wrong for me is wrong for you. What's wrong for you is wrong for me. And I'm telling you, God don't give me some special privilege to offer up something I want to offer. Amen, brother. That's because of my title tonight. Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm a preacher. Amen. That's a strange fire to me. I don't meet up with the Word of God. I know I've had people get aggravated. It don't matter to me. I'm going to preach what God says. I'm not a doctor. If a man called me wanting to give me the title, I'd tell him to keep it and give it to Dr. Feek. He's the one that gives me medicine and prescribes prescriptions. I'm a man of God. I'm a preacher. I'm not the man. I've been a doctor. It's a strange fire. Them old men of God never boasted in what they were. They boasted in the one that called them. What Paul said called to be an apostle. He never had a strange name. Thank God he had God's name that God gave him. I'm telling you, I'm right tonight because the Bible's right tonight. Amen, brother. That's right. We're living in a strange fire day. Amen. They're offering up strange fire, wrong and strange intentions. And that, why men want to go to church to get a good name in society. Oh, let's say I've done this to get a burial plot in a cemetery. Hey, I'll tell you, isn't that crazy? People go to church because grandma went there. That's a strange fire. Why are you here tonight? I won't tell you I am. That's God's plan. That's God's own. It ain't strange to me. I know it ought to be. Amen. That's right. There's a strange intentions going on tonight. They don't say there's strange worship tonight. Amen. Strange worship. They didn't worship right. That other crowd fell on their face and shouted and praised God. They was going in there offering up their own fire. They must have put their own fire in their censer, and it wasn't fire that came from God, and it wasn't fire that came off the altar. Amen. You know what is a sweep in our country today? It's the strange fires of worship. Amen. They call it praise teams. They call it worship teams. Thank God. I tell you, worship's in a man's heart. He can't worship God till he's saved. Truly worship Him. And it's in spirit and truth. And it can't be manifest by man or put on by man. It's got to be something done in the heart by God tonight. What is worship? Worship's adoration. Great affection for Christ. Most of the time that they worship in the Bible, it was by falling on their face and in love and fear and respect and adoration to Christ. Amen. Even the wise men that came in His birth fell down before Him and offered Him gifts. Everywhere you find them worship in the Bible. Hey, God's in a spirit of humility and affection and adoration. It wasn't some wildfire or strange fire like the charismatics. Amen. Or like some Baptist teach you. I tell you tonight, I thank God for old time Holy Ghost worship and shouting and praising God. But I'll tell you what, you can praise God in your heart without ever uttering anything outside. I really believe praise is an expression of worship. I believe worship comes from the heart, and I believe praise is an expression of worship, whether it's raising of hands, whether it's saying amen, whether it's weeping, whether it's bowing, thank God, on your knees, and amen there at the house, and saying, thou art worthy, and you're praising God. Maybe it's shouting, thank God. Maybe it's leaping for joy in the Holy Ghost. But that's an expression of worship from a man's heart. I'm telling you, God showed me that long years back when I was in some of this high chicken deal. And God showed me that worship is from the heart. It's from the heart. It's not shouting. Shouting's an expression of it. Amen. You can shout and not worship God. I've done that before. I don't know if you have. In fact, amen, I'm not knocking preachers. I've done some crazy stuff myself involved in this kind of thing. I've had men say, take off and run. That's not worship, and that's not praise. Amen. If the Holy Ghost got on me, I don't need no man to tell me to take off and run. Amen. Thank God His power is greater than that. That's right. And brother, there's strange fire today. And not every time you meet, you're going to have a shouting service. And I won't tell you this, brother. Most of the shouting that's going on was after much suffering in the Bible, much persecution in the Bible. And thank God they got down to prison after they'd been half beat to death and started praising God and singing and thanking Jesus. And the power of God came and opened the jail up. Hey, friend, I'll tell you this most of the time. Thank God if the Holy Ghost got around in prayer and they worship God, there always was a brokenness and humility in the presence of God. And through that, and thank God, there broke out great praise and worship. And my friend, the praise of men toward God. Amen. That's right. They started praising God. I've seen it. Amen. I've seen the power of God fall and people start worshiping God from the heart, giving Him thanks. And then I'll see it break out. People shouting and praising God. Amen. Because of what He's done in their heart. And nobody had to say, do this or do that. Thank God that somebody didn't have to say, now raise your hand to Jesus or give Him a hand. That's not what God said. I'm telling you, God said to worship Him. There's a lot of strange worship today. Amen. People like that emotional stuff. People live an emotional life. You know what I call living in sentiment, living by the feelings of the flesh. And if God's done this for them that day, they're shouting. But the next day when they're down, you couldn't get them to even praise God. Hey, He don't change from what position you're in or what you're going through. He's the same in the best place state you've ever been in toward Him. Hey, God's when you had a heavy heart and you depended on Him and you was going through a trial and the tribulation and you didn't feel like you could walk another step and you was weak in body and weak in spirit, but still in your heart adored Him and knew He was your living Redeemer, and thank God the Holy Ghost calls you to say praise the Lord. And brother, in that weakness, God gave you strength to worship who He is tonight. You don't worship Him for what He does for you. You worship Him for who He is. Amen. Worship Him for who He is. Amen. You don't have to have, thank God, two songs to worship Jesus. Amen. If you're right with God and I'm right with God, we can come to the sanctuary, fall on our face and say, Thou art the worthy one. Amen. There's strange fire and there's strange fire in music today. Boy, I've done a study on this music. You know, Psalms is a song book. That's what the Psalms is a song book. Every song that's ever been sung that God put in a man's heart, the song was to God. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight, probably ain't going to set well with some of you, but it don't matter. I'm preaching to God. Heaven's truth. God never told you to get up and dedicate a song to anybody but to God. Oh, I've heard them say, I won't dedicate this song to Peggy Sue. God didn't tell you to dedicate it to nobody but to Him. He didn't say, make a joyful noise unto Peggy Sue. I sent him in a bunch of garbage. Make people feel good, you know. Oh, so and so, they sung a song for me tonight. God help. Nowhere in the Bible did God ever tell anybody to get together and have a singing. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. That's up to that local church, but don't put high priority on it. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul saying, boys, we're going to get together this Lord's Day. We're going to have a singing. I'll tell you what, you can have a singing in the morning when you get up. Start singing. You don't have. Well, I want to ask you a question tonight. This goes for preachers too. Singers, preachers, anybody, choir, it don't matter what you do. Why do people have to have a platform? You know what I told somebody, and I'll tell anybody this, it don't matter who it is. If you've got to have an invitation, I'll tell you what, you don't have to have that. There's enough rest homes within 10 miles of here. You can go sing that the next month. The fact of it is, you ain't going to get a pat on the back there. You don't get your name mentioned there. You don't get paid there. In fact, look it up. The word singing in the Bible is not mentioned, but in the New Testament, very seldom. Singing and making melody of your heart to the Lord twice. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. And Paul and Silas sang praises to God in the jail. What's people talking about today more than anything? People tell me I like singing as good as I do preaching. I'll tell you what Leonard Ravenhill said. Is Ravenhill still there? I don't know if he's still living. He might be. He's up in his 90s probably. He's a revivalist. He's a preacher. Take some of his sermons up. He wrote several books on revival. And this is what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, I'll tell you when you can tell America needs revival. When they won't singing more than they do preaching. God didn't say sing the gospel neither. Now I know it's terminology. God help, I'm not getting technical. It's terminology, but I'm trying to give you something where we missed the boat. This is not gospel singing. It's gospel preaching.
Amen.
We don't sing the gospel. We preach it.
Yeah.
We sing about Him.
Right. Right.
And some of Him fears the soul. See and make men a heart to the Lord.
Right.
The best singing you'll have in the church is congregational singing.
Amen.
In fact, in heaven, that's what you're going to have. Jesus ain't going to say, will the band come forward and sing?
That's right.
I saw people go to singing that wouldn't dare enter the house of God to hear preaching.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, it's just strange fire. It's strange fire. It's entertainment, most of it. I've heard some people hit it in fire. I have. I've seen people hit it in fire singing. Them Henderson ladies is one. First time I heard them, I heard them hit it in fire. Brother Mimmy's camp meeting. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a danger in any preacher, any singer, listen to me, when success comes and you hit it in fire and you forget where it come from and you start to get famous and popular. And you might try to offer up some strange fire. God, listen to me tonight. God can take any God-called man and preach him. And use him. He don't have to be a doctor. He don't have to be, quote, the big preacher. He don't have to have a big name. But it's dangerous. Praise God. Amen. Singing ought to be to the Lord. When we sung congregation tonight, it's to Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Why? He's done something for me.
Amen.
You say, well, I just don't have that good of a voice. It don't matter what your voice sounds like. It matters where it's from and who it's to.
Right.
Thank God for men that play the instrument like Brother Bobby. These men play the guitar and the piano and the organ and all that. That is praising God.
Amen.
I appreciate it. That first time I called Brother Bobby, and I know it was a joke, and I shouldn't have done it, and I was clowning around, and I called him and told him I was somebody from the band, you know, trying to get him to join it up. He didn't know who it was. I said, would you join our band? He said, I don't play for that. I play for the glory of God. If you don't play for the glory of God, then it ain't no good anyhow. Be honest with you tonight. I'm just telling you my heart. And I know God can use anything He wills to use. I realize and know that I'm not preaching God in some corner. But God's not in the business of competition.
Right.
I'm not competing against another preacher. We're not competing against another church. And singers are not competing on who can sing better, who can sing louder, who can sing better in a prettier song. And the danger in that, my friend, and all this stuff that's going on, that strange fire, it produces jealousy. Then I'll say they're strange, strange, strange works being done today to try to produce a salvation experience. God help us. The only way that a man can be saved is God save him. Can you get any plainer than that? You're lost tonight. You need to be saved. That's a true saying, isn't it? A man tonight that's lost needs to be saved. That's a true saying. But a man, listen to me tonight. They can't be saved unless God saves them. The only way they can get saved is God save them. But they got to see themselves needing to be saved before God to save them.
Yes.
And can I tell you, they got to be savable.
That's right.
That's right. They got to be savable. How's a man get savable? He gets lost. She testified tonight, I got lost.
Right.
Only person to get a man lost, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
I can't get them lost. I can't get them saved. I can only preach.
I'll tell you what to get them lost. The Holy Spirit power in the church. Amen. But they're offering strange things today. I know I'm different, and I know we hear things different sometimes, but I'm not trying to start nothing, but I'm just saying that, brother, these people that write, we had 100 saved, I don't believe it. How can anybody count how many was saved in a revival meeting? Only God can tell that. If somebody come forward tonight and said they got saved, I'd jump the pews and say, hallelujah, thank God. But they still got to testify. I can't testify for them. That's strange. We're living in a day of strange fire. And they call us strange. I believe God can save everybody that's savable. I believe that. I believe in that. The Holy Ghost can come in this place, and I believe He's around here, and I believe He could come and touch somebody in their heart and say, you're going to hell and you need Jesus, and then walk to Him and get born again. I believe that. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. Some of you that's in here tonight know you need to get saved. I'd like to see you get in. But you ain't going to get in until you move to Him. You can get out of this church. You can go out and live like the devil. Cuss God in your heart. Some of you do. Say, I don't want that religion. I'm tired of them trying to tell me what to do and cram it down my throat. But I'm telling you this tonight. You can live a life like that, but there is a judgment day going to come. I don't care who you think you are, how good you think you've been, He'll put you in the hell. There ain't nobody good enough. I said in my heart about these firemen getting killed. It really bothered me. I was saying in my heart about it. No, their destiny was determined what was in their heart. It wasn't the work they had to do it. Nobody's going to heaven because they fight fires, because they answer police calls, because they do good deeds. We truly hope that they were saved people. I don't know. That's between them and God, and it's sealed and done. And as much as if I'm going home tonight and a drunk driver hits me head on, knocks me out in eternity, it's already sealed in my heart.
Amen.
That's right. There ain't a thing you can do about it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What's happened in our day? People don't fear death no more. They don't even think they're going to die. They especially don't think they're going to go to hell. If they did, they'd move to God.
That's right.
If I thought tonight I was going to hell, I'd try to make a way to God. That's right. But they don't believe it. You know why? Because they're offering up stuff in their own censor. They think God's going to accept.
Yeah.
That's right. My daddy's a preacher. My mama's a good woman. Lord, I've been to church all my life. I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus died. That's a fire in your censor that God won't accept. I see all these signs this time of year, and I'm finishing up this date after, but I want to tell you this. I see all these signs. I come down the road today and seen one in the church and said, praise God, we serve a living Savior. And he arose. And boy, what is Maundy Thursday? And Good Friday? And Ash Wednesday? I guess it's Ash Wednesday, ain't it? Today Ash Wednesday? What is that? Really, today is the day the Lord was hung on Calvary, if you want to go by Jewish time. What is Ash Wednesday? What is Maundy Thursday? Pancake Tuesday?
That's what they have. Pancakes on Tuesday, ashes on Wednesday, malty Thursday, a good Friday. Every Friday's good if you're saved. And we don't. That's just terminology. That's all it is. That church sign don't mean two cents to that crowd. It says he's alive. Thank God I know he's alive. Hell no. Thank God he's a living in my heart. I ain't got a dead religion, praise God. I've got a living Savior. He took me out of dead religion. Now the new birth. You've got to be born again. If you ain't, you're lost. Go to hell if you ain't born again. It don't matter who you are. That concludes me. My religion ain't worth a dime. I tell you, we got a nation full of religion. It's going straight to hell. Yes, sir, he is the living Savior. What's that sign mean to them? What's it mean to you tonight? He's alive. He ever left to make intercession on your behalf. Praise God. Strange fire being offered up, not in them censers. We'll just offer up what we want to God. You know what this is like? It's like in essence of fire. They offered up lies. Falseness. This same crowd offered up falseness. You know this fire here didn't burn them up. History says they went in and picked them up. You read the rest of that chapter. You read the rest of the verses. Their uncles is the one that carried out and buried them. And you know what Aaron did? He stood there in silence and in peace. In awe of the judgment of God. Right, read it. What would this crowd today say? Oh man, he don't have a bit of compassion for his boys. You know why people say that kind of stuff? Because they don't know nothing about the holy God of heaven. People honor man a whole lot more than they honor God. That's all in authority. That's why family members don't understand you. They don't supposed to if they don't have the same Lord. Well, I don't want to offend them. If you don't want to offend nobody, why are you saved? Do you not think the gospel is offensive? God help! What's happened to Baptists today is we done got plumb ecumenical. You know, that'd been pretty. What'd y'all think if I said, no, Saturday night, folks, we're going to meet here. I got this Methodist man. He's coming, Lutheran's coming, Gloria Day's coming in, and Milford Hills Methodist. I'm not trying to criticize, I'm just trying to picture something here. We're going to get the Free Will Baptists out here. We're going to go get Sacred Heart. We're going to let all these people, we're going to get in, we're going to just have a good time together. You know, it don't matter whether they believe Jesus is God. It don't matter whether they believe that Mary can really forgive sin. It really don't matter. Oh, that's why Baptist people went to the stake and was burned by that crowd, and they said, we ain't bowing down to it. But today, son, we're going to get up and say, like Mr. Osteen, who's a false prophet, and if you watch him, you ain't got much spiritual sense. Everything's all right. We're not going to offend nobody. Any man talks like that's a sissy.
That's right.
He has no spirit of God. He's a false prophet.
That's right. Amen.
Strange fire is what it is. Strange fire. God help us. Please, Lord, help us. Not to offer up things that's not of God, but be real and true to Jesus and offer up them things that would please Him and not man. I am so tired of this day of trying to honor men above God. I appreciate every good comment somebody gives me an exhortation. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather for hear somebody say, thank God for the Lord and Savior.
We need exhortation. I appreciate you, brothers. I love you in the Lord and thank God for your faithfulness and love to Jesus. But I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for Jesus, ain't one of us would love Him.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. It's the goodness of God. I looked in the mirror this morning, boys, and I didn't see nothing I liked. And I looked inside and said, He lives, He lives, He lives. And I found something that looked awful good, and it was Him. It surely wasn't me. I didn't look in the mirror and say, I'm God's gift, and God, You sure need me today. I said, Lord, I thank God You got compassion and mercy on me, oh me, oh me. What kind of fire are you offering up? You got your own little old censer tonight. You're trying to offer stuff up to God. And you're trying to get His approval. I'm going to tell you where His approval is what His Son did. What He does in your life. That's what He approves tonight. God, help us to yield to Him and love Him. Let's stand tonight. I appreciate you hearing the Word of God. I know it's been kind of hard. Sometimes you got to preach that way. You're not going to get ice cream every time you come to church. They had selling cake the other day there.